Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "So give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she sighed. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now love is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." So the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." And then we're going to verse 27 and 30. "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' And they came out of the town and made their way toward him." Amen.
Jesus, who is our example, is also God's great missionary. Mission is God's caring for the entire world through Jesus Christ and through the gospel of Christ. So those who engage in mission are also called missionaries. We follow Jesus, so today I have the pleasure of actually addressing my fellow missionaries, as we all are. In our reading this morning in John, we have a remembering of one of Jesus' mission trips. And as we've heard, it was in a hot place. It was in Samaria by a well. It was high noon. It was very hot. And a woman came at that time, which was unusual. They wouldn't typically come at high noon. So it was clear that she was coming at an off time and not the most popular person. And Jesus then spoke to her. Oops, no, that wasn't culturally acceptable. A man speaking to a woman who was not his wife or his daughter or his sister. So the woman was surprised and probably somewhat suspicious. Jesus defied all sorts of conventions of his time. He crossed, actually broke all sorts of cultural barriers. A Jewish man reaches out to a sinful Samaritan woman, and along the way, he breaks down the barriers of holiness, of ethnicity, of gender, and of religion. There's lots of laws and lots of traditions that Jesus quite consciously set aside when he did this, when he intentionally wanted to reach that woman with the gospel. You know, very often it is our own adherence to our own traditions or laws that deny or undermine our commitment to God, to reach out to God's children. You know, we can always find a good argument to convince ourselves about why we should keep everything just the way it is. And there's always a good argument about not venturing into something new or to reaching out beyond our borders, our walls, our culture, and our tradition. So, you know, it's a blessing that here at St. Andrew's, there is a heart about what could be. We see that heart demonstrated around the sanctuary today. And in addition to the dolls of joy and pneumonia vests and caps that we dedicated, we also reach out through the Caribbean Workers Outreach Program and the Jamaican Goshen United Church Children's Ministry St. George's Breakfast, program for the needy, and Hospice Niagara. We've also reached out through the Salvation Army booth and through Jillian's Place for Battered Women, Mexican Worker Supplies, and the Network and Newark Neighbors. We've reached out through Sunday School and supported fire victims in BC and Samaritan's Purse at Christmas Boxes and Mike's Miracles that supports Ronald McDonald House in Hamilton. Many in the church knit for sick children in disadvantaged countries, and toiletries and food are collected and distributed. All of these, and if I missed anything, please, I don't mean to offend, because there is a great many things that is done in the name of Christ through here in all of these mission and outreach efforts, like that of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well, touches people in their place of need. And when we do that, it also awakens their spiritual awareness. You see, Jesus treated everyone he met as individuals, not as pew fodder. We see Jesus bringing the gospel to the woman at the well by connecting to what was going on in her life. She was going to the well to get water, a part of her daily routine. So where was Jesus? He was at the well to meet her. While she may have been in need of water in the physical sense, he knew she was also in need of spiritual help as well. He knew there was a thirst in her life that was of a different kind than physical water could meet. She was trying to meet her deep spiritual need for intimacy with the Creator through all sorts of different relationships, 5 marriages, and now living with someone else. Jesus surprised her by telling her he knew all about this. And Jesus also knew that another earthly marriage was not going to quench the kind of thirst that was in her soul. She couldn't find personal satisfaction in her earthly relationships, her ultimate meaning to her life, and earthly water would never satisfy her thirst. She also belonged to a culture that worshipped multiple gods. False religions also cannot deliver what she needed. Only Jesus could satisfy her longing. Only Jesus could provide the living water that she didn't even know she was in need of. Only Jesus could serve as her true bridegroom. She was trying to meet her needs in ways that were not spiritual and that were apart from Christ. Christ, as God's best missionary, reaches out and touches the Samaritan woman in a physical sense, but also draws her in spiritually. He doesn't stop with just meeting her physical need. He doesn't leave her in some kind of limbo of kind of a seeker service mentality, always looking. He leads her to the ultimate place of wellness and wholeness. He leads her to himself, the only place that offers life-giving water. The story of the Samaritan woman is a conversation in which Jesus introduced himself through action and his presence in a place that had meaning to her, but then also ultimately reveals himself through his words. During this conversation, Jesus took that woman from a position of unbelief toward faith. Jesus led the woman from a discussion about water to living water, from a discussion about worship to the revelation that he himself is indeed the Messiah, the one called Christ. The culmination of the conversation came when the woman said to him and confessed, "I know that the Messiah, the one called Christ, is coming." When that one comes, she says, "He will announce to us all things." Jesus then announced the most important thing, declaring, "I am the one speaking to you." This is the culmination of the whole story, because while it's important for her immediate need to be met, it is that much more important for her to hear and might therefore believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, because believing in him, she might have life in his name. And that is right now, right in the present. Not something, you know, eternal life is not something we inherit only at death or receive at the Lord's second coming. Jesus makes it clear that we are in possession of it now. He who hears my word and believes the one who sent me has eternal life right now. We already have crossed over from life to death. Indeed, the one who lives and believes in Christ will never die. It's a present possession of God's people. That gift of life, of living water, begins now, today, in this moment, for all who trust Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. A present reality that Jesus took absolutely every opportunity and used every means available to him to share with whomever he encountered, just as he did with the woman at the well. And I think Jesus is speaking to us today on this Mission Awareness Sunday. He's asking, are we doing the same thing? Do we actively link our mission and our outreach efforts to worship and to salvation and to providing an invitation to the living water? Like Jesus, do we go beyond touching just the physical needs, but also embracing spiritual needs as well? Because God made us with both. They come together in unison. Do we intentionally draw people into the place from which living waters flow and true bread is discovered? It's for Christ's sake, and it's in service to Jesus, that we are each individually called to be a living water, a well of living water for others. It's not just for us. It's to be shared. Jesus wants living water to flow from each one of us. You know, while a spiritual solution is not going to meet an immediate physical need, the physical and the spiritual are interwoven. Helping a person physically awakens them spiritually and vice versa. Everything is spiritual and everything is physical. God created them together and we must see them together. Because people need, each one of us, need spiritual resources to help us through difficult times, whether it be grief or rejection. We need spiritual resources like forgiveness and love and a sense of worth. And when we meet someone, we might see the physical need, but we can't see the spiritual need. And that's why it's so important to minister spiritually as well as physically. Jesus, in our story, had to go through Samaria. Where do you have to go? Tomorrow, day after that in your daily living, you meet all sorts of other people going about their daily living, just as Jesus met the woman going about her daily living at the well. Who do you know that has a physical need that perhaps you can help to meet and also awaken a spiritual need, an opportunity to also introduce them to living water? What have we learned from the way Jesus did that in this story today? And how is that going to guide each of us tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that? Everything we do is so much more than an event or a fundraiser or just a conversation. It's a God-given opportunity to help share in God's physical and spiritual care of his world. Mission. We're missionaries. An exciting, life-giving task whenever and wherever we are, as we are partners with Jesus, God's greatest missionary, as we share together with him God's physical and spiritual care in the world. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Lord of life, we just pledge to you our desire to be a well of living water. Through your Spirit, help us to speak in ways so that after a time in conversation with us, a person does not leave with insults and foul language, but love and inspiration to serve you and Jesus Christ as their Lord. Cause us, Lord, to see deeper and to feel deeper and to know deeper. Give us insight and gifts of prophecy that we might help to manifest your presence in a way that people will see, know, and feel your love in a very real way. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let us continue to sing to God's glory, hymn number 761, Who's Gonna Tell the Story?
Now, in your bulletin, you will see prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. And we will read responsively. Gracious and loving God, we have so much to be thankful for. The fact that we can come to worship you freely this day is a privilege that many do not have. Lord, we thank you for the honor and privilege of being called to be your ambassadors, your representatives, your church, and members of the kingdom of God on earth.
Help us to be your church in the world, ministering to those around us according to your call.
Amidst all that you have given us, Lord, we thank you for eyes to see the beauty of your creation, the colorful panorama of each season, the tender babies and laughing children, and the wonders of love.
Help us also to see you in the eyes of all children who are filled with your spirit, and in the eyes and faces of those who are in need, crying to you for help.
We thank you for ears to hear your voice in the music, laughter, and joy of our world.
Help us also to hear your voice in the cries of the poor and needy, the sick and hurt, the lonely and depressed. Lord, speak through us your words of comfort and hope.
We thank you for mouths to eat the wonderful food you have supplied to us, even though we often take it for granted.
Help us also to remember those mouths that cry for food, for there is hunger in the world around us. There are those who cannot find food or afford to choose what to eat, and those who have diet or illness does not allow them to eat.
As we sing praises to you, we give thanks for voices to speak, to sing, laugh, and pray.
Help us to remember those who cannot walk because they are weak, hungry, or ill, and those who do not have the freedom to walk because they are bound or confined. Let us be Christ's feet to bring them the message of hope and in Christ.
Lord, with your help and the gifts of faith and understanding of the gospel that you have given to us,
we pray that we will live each day so that we might truly be your hands, feet, and voices in this world, bringing good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed.
May our lives truly proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and together, with thanks for all that you have given us and called us to be, we praise your name forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As God has been generous to us, let us also generously give back for the sake of Christ's kingdom on earth. Our offerings will now be received. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring this offering, praying that our tithes and gifts will help all of the ministries of your church to be adequately sustained. As we share from the bounty you have given to us, we hope for a deepening of our commitment to serve you and your people. Help us to continue giving here in the church and in the world. Amen. The final hymn is number 592, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
And as it goes out, the smoke reminds us of God's Holy Spirit. That goes up, goes out, covering this entire place called Niagara-on-the-Lake and God's created earth. Now, my friends, go and live as free people. And may the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ and the extravagant love of God and the intimate relationship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Go and live as free people in Christ and walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and always.